The October 5th edition of the RAND Report will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the RAND Report for the week of October 5th, 2007. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. This past spring, the FCC's William Cross, W3TN, declared that digital D-Star amateur radio repeaters are not really repeaters. See the RAND archive page for details. Cross's declaration has understandably stirred up a virtual hornet's nest among frequency coordinators nationwide. In response to the digital versus analog conflicts that have cropped up over the summer as a result of Cross's assertion, the National Frequency Coordinators Council, NFCC, has asked that the FCC require digital repeaters follow the same coordination guidelines as do their analog counterparts. In a recent interview with Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Jay Maynard, K5ZC, president of the NFCC, reports major concern in the D-Star community about the NFCC's filing.
There has been quite a bit of reaction from people who are claiming that treating D-Star repeaters as repeaters will force them off the air in several locations, most notably California, both northern and southern. In L.A., there is one D-Star repeater on an intermediate channel for testing purposes. I don't know what the results of that test are yet. With that said, if those coordinating bodies really can't find any way to create a hole for a D-Star repeater, and if people that want to put up D-Star repeaters cannot convince some other system owner either to convert to D-Star themselves and thereby create an extra channel, or else convey the channel to them one way or another, or put up a D-Star repeater of their own, then yeah, that may result in some 2-meter D-Star systems going off the air. I will note that all of the ones that I know of where there's a 2-meter D-Star repeater for which there may not be a channel come available for them, they also have 440 repeaters as well, usually in the same stack. All of those are on the air on coordinated channels. There may have been some level of difficulty coordinating them, but they are coordinated. And with only two exceptions, every D-Star user radio does both 2 meters and 440. The two exceptions were two of the first three that ICOM introduced.
So the situation is now one where the real congestion problems are in the highly developed areas where all the channels are in use. I know of cases where people wanting to put up D-Star repeaters, and actually the one guy who wants to put up an APCO 25 repeater, have gone to other repeater owners literally trying to buy them out without success, because people just don't want to give up their channel pairs, at least in SoCal and Northern Cal. Where else could the development of digital voice repeaters take place other than on 2 meters and 440?
There is a third band involved here that ICOM sells both repeaters and user radios for, on, and that's on 1200 megahertz. On 1200, I don't know of anywhere that doesn't have oodles and oodles of channels available. The bad news is that the radios are expensive and some of the infrastructure is not available on the surplus market. For example, you can't go out and buy a commercial duplexer and easily retune it. The test gear isn't as commonly available, and lots of other things go along with it, so it winds up being more expensive. But there is spectrum available. The other thing to remember here is that once you get a foothold for D-Star, by its very nature, it allows more repeaters to go on the air. And that's because a D-Star especially signal is narrower than an analog FM signal. Typically, an analog FM signal with 5 kilohertz deviation is considered to take up about 18 kilohertz of spectrum. A D-Star signal, by comparison, takes up about 6.7 kilohertz of spectrum. So you can put two D-Star signals in where one analog signal was. There's a coordination plan generated by the Illinois Repeater Association. Bob Shepard, K9FLX, did it. And the proposal there is to put two D-Star signals in place of one analog signal by moving one off of center channel up or down half of the channel spacing. And then that lets you put another signal on the other side of center. And so what happens is you convert an existing repeater to D-Star, move it off-center channel, presto, you've got an instant channel to stick another one in.
In theory, though, you could literally double the number, especially for 2 meters, of repeater channels available.
Exactly. And that, to me, is one of the key reasons that I feel that digital communications is going to be the wave of the future. Not just D-Star, but narrowband digital in general.
Let's assume the FCC goes along and says, yep, a D-Star repeater, a NAPCO repeater, it's a repeater. Now, the next step is, how do you convince the guys who have all this FM equipment that it's time to, hey, let's chuck the FM and go to something new because it is better?
And that's what I think is going to wind up happening. And for inspiration here, we can look back at the history of adoption of single sideband. If you have a chance, go back to a library and look at QSTs from the mid-50s, where single sideband was first being discussed and proposed. And people complain that D-Star equipment is scarce and it's expensive. Well, guess what? In 1955, so was a single sideband transmitter. But that didn't stop people from adopting it and taking it up and from it becoming the dominant mode on the ham bands. And I foresee the same thing happening with D-Star. D-Star is not a proprietary protocol. Any manufacturer can implement it for no licensing fees, no royalty fees, except for the voice codec, and there you buy a chip for $20 and off you go. There are, and I've been saying D-Star all this time, from the frequency coordinator standpoint, it's not so much that it's D-Star, is that it is narrow band emission. And so there are a lot of folks that believe that APCO P25 is the wave of the future because of its use in the public safety world. P25 Phase 1 is not quite as spectrally efficient as D-Star. P25 Phase 2 is supposed to be. The coordination community is unanimous in that it's not going to favor one technology over another. It's purely a matter of how wide the signal is and how many of them you can put in the band.
You're listening to an interview with Jay Maynard, K5ZC, president of the National Frequency Coordinators Council, talking about the NFCC's FCC filing regarding digital repeater coordination clarification. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak at WA6ITF will conclude his interview with Maynard in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
What I see happening is that hams will discover the advantages of a narrowband digital signal, and then some forward-thinking repeater owner will say, well, you know, my users are all techie types and early adopters, and it's time to give this stuff a try out, so I'll take my FM repeater, and I'll turn it off for a few days, and we'll turn on this D-Star system, and we'll see how it goes. And they'll discover that it works just as well and gives them more capabilities than they had, and slowly, because, after all, this is still a technology in its infancy in a lot of ways, people will try it and they'll like it, and there will be more people trying it, and so we'll see this wave of adoption. I don't see analog FM ever going away entirely. There's too much equipment out there. There are too many people using it. Too many people understand it, just like AM hasn't left the ham bands either. I do see that a narrowband digital migration will happen. It'll take a while. It's not going to happen as quickly as anybody would like, but I think it will happen.
Well, one of the things it needs is competition in the marketplace. There isn't any right now. Once there's some infrastructure and other manufacturers say, hey, be it D-Star or P25 or what have you, once the manufacturers say they see there's a market, I think that you'll start seeing more equipment.
I'm pretty sure there will be. Right now, the only manufacturer of amateur D-Star equipment is ICOM. That is about to change. Kenwood has introduced a D-Star radio in Japan. From what I've seen, it looks like an ID800 with a different label on the front. That's okay. I don't care particularly where it comes from, but I believe that it's important that other manufacturers bring out this technology so that it isn't single source, and so that people who, for whatever reason, don't like buying ICOM can go buy something else and get on with it anyway.
Actually brings us to something that's very important, because the emergence of amateur radio as the secondary backbone of emergency communications in the United States. We're fine right now because VHF-wise, we're all FM. HF-wise, we're basically sideband. Anybody's radio can talk to anybody else's. What a lot of people are not aware of is in the digital world, you have to have the same protocol between radios. So if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that ham radio has to do to start thinking of right now is in terms of adopting a single protocol so we can all continue to keep talking to each other once we are all digital.
I think you're right, but I think that's going to happen as a marketplace function rather than as a formal decision by anybody. For lots of reasons, I personally, speaking just for myself, believe that D-Star has enough advantages over P25, and those are the two primary contenders, that it will be the protocol that's taken up in the ham radio world. There are folks who disagree with me. There are lots of advantages to both. People complain about the cost of D-Star systems. What they don't realize is that the cheapest P25 radio you can buy new is $1,500. Ironically, it's an ICOM handheld. The repeaters are hideously expensive. A new Quantar is about $14,000. For comparison, a full D-Star stack is about $6,000, but that's four band units. You can get into a basic D-Star repeater for about $3,000. D-Star also provides a gatewaying capability. You can automatically and transparently send your signal across the network. You talk to your local repeater, and you tell it, I want to talk to N5MIJ, and the repeater and the gateway PC attached to it figure out where he is and routes the signal to him directly without you having to do anything at all. So there are advantages and disadvantages to both. I think it's far too early yet for anybody to anoint one as the standard. I think we're going to have to see a lot more experience in the ham community before we decide, well, everybody's going to go D-Star, everybody's going to go P25.
Or something else that might come along we don't know about.
Or something else might come along. You're correct.
Yeah. Let's wind up. I think we've covered just about everything. Let's wind up on this. Give us your idea from your point of view of a timeline on all this. Are we looking at a conversion factor to digital over 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years for the majority? Not all, but for the majority of people to make the move?
For the majority of the people to make the move, I would say will be something on the order of 15 to 20 years. I think we will see a significant D-Star P25, pick your poison, presence in the amateur world within the next 5. And in 5 years, we'll see enough people starting to switch that space will open up in the bands. In 10, it will be as easy to buy a radio with D-Star as it is today to buy a radio with PL. And in that time frame, it will be hard not to buy a radio, or not to buy a digital radio, let me put it that way, whatever standard. There's a lot of TR-7400s out there, and a lot of IC-22Ss, and those aren't going to go away anytime soon.
Okay, well, do you have any final thoughts on this?
excuse me. The coordination community is really trying hard to provide the best service it can to the amateur radio service. And there's a fair amount of disagreement about how it should go about it, but coordinators are not the nasty evil guy who wants to make sure that only his buddies can put up repeaters. Coordinators don't like saying, no, you can't put up a machine. That's not their job. A good number of them are looking towards digital signal technologies as a way that they can accommodate more systems in the same spectrum. And I think we're all happy about that.
Jay Maynard, K5ZC, president of the NFCC, National Frequency Coordinators Council. He was interviewed by Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Part one of Bill's interview will be found on the RAIN archive page on therainreport.com. You are welcome to post or transmit these RAIN reports as long as you use them in their entirety and credit the Radio Amateur Information Network as the source. Distribution of RAIN programming is licensed under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 1990 through 2007, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, RAIN's founder and producer, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, wishing you very 73 from all of us at RAIN, www.therainreport.com.